Hello, today we will learn the sicha, the second sicha of Parshas Hazinu in Chelek Yudalid. This sicha will discuss, amongst other things, the idea of Birchas HaTorah, which is the bracha or the brachos that we make before learning Torah. Now, regarding brachos, there are many brachos that we say, and there are different categories of brachos. Two major categories of brachos are there's Birchas HaMitzvos. You have some brachos that you make, a bracha that you make before performing a mitzvah. And there's also another category is called Birchas HaNanin, which means a bracha that you make before having pleasure, before enjoying something that Hashem created. We first make a bracha to thank Hashem for it. So one, I guess, most classic example of Birchas Hananin would be the brachos that you make before eating. Now, let's start focusing. The Rebbe and the Sicha, at least in Ois Aleph, we begin by discussing Birchas HaTorah, the brachos that are made before learning Torah. And the Rebbe brings down a Gemara brachos, where the Gemara asks, how do we know that we are required to say Birchas HaTorah Midoraisa? From where do we learn in the Torah that we must make a bracha, Birchas HaTorah? And it says, because it says, Shenemar ki shem Hashem ekra havu goidel lelukenu. This is quoting a pasuk in our parsha, in Parshas Hazinu, in which Moshe Rabbeinu says, ki shem Hashem ekra, I will call out in the name of Hashem, havu goidel lelukenu, let us bring greatness to Hashem. The explanation, meaning the meaning of this pasuk and how it fits with Birchas HaTorah, is that in Parshas Hazinu, right, which is a very special shira that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe describes this shira as a likhi, as a teaching. And in one of the introductory psukim to this shira, Moshe begins by saying, Ki shem Hashem ekra, I will call out in the name of Hashem, which is explained to mean I'm making a bracha, I'm gonna bless Hashem. Havu goyder lelikenu, let's give greatness to Hashem. The meaning of that is that B'nai Yisrael answer, whoever hears my bracha should respond and answer Amen. So in the beginning, before Moshe really starts with his teaching, he begins by saying a bracha. And the Gemara says, from here we learn that before learning Torah, one is obligated to first make a bracha and recite the Birchas HaTorah. Now the Rebbe says that the fact that the Gemara has a special teaching specifically about Birchas HaTorah and doesn't just automatically include the obligation to say Birchas HaTorah in the category of the brachos that you say for any other mitzvah, meaning the fact that Birchas HaTorah isn't just lumped together with Birchas HaMitzvahs, but there's a special teaching about it, shows us that there must be something different and unique about Birchas HaTorah. The Rebbe says, what's the difference? When you come to saying a bracha before doing a mitzvah, what you're doing is, or the focus is that you are blessing Hashem and thanking Hashem for giving you the mitzvah, meaning, thank you Hashem for commanding me and obligating me to do this particular act, because through the command, you are k'sher k'dishanu b'mitzvosa, you are making us holy, you're sanctifying us, you're enabling us to connect to you, so you're thanking Hashem for the actual mitzvah, for the actual command. What's different? The difference is when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, even though, yes, there is a mitzvah to learn Torah, the bracha on Torah is special and is different, because over here, we're not thanking Hashem for the mitzvah per se. We're not thanking Hashem for the obligation per se, but we are thanking Hashem for the essential idea that Hashem gave us the Torah and that we received the Torah and we're able to learn the Torah. That's the content, that's the idea behind Birchas HaTorah. And we see this idea, or the uniqueness of Birchas HaTorah, brought out also in the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. When the Alter Rebbe is discussing Birchas HaTorah, he also describes, he gives a certain like meditation or kavana that a person should have when he is reciting this bracha. And the kavana is, the Alter Rebbe says, that a person should see to it that this klei chemda, this desirable kli or vessel of Hashem, it's a reference to the Torah, that Hashem would always delight in, should be as important in his eyes, so that he should bench it, he should bless it with more joy than any other worldly pleasure. So the Alter Rebbe is a very interesting, beautiful kavana that a person should have when saying Birchas HaTorah, and the focus is that this Torah should give me and bring me more joy than any other pleasure in the world. Now, from this wording that the Alter Rebbe uses that he's associating Birchas HaTorah that with joy and pleasure, it seems like the Birchas HaTorah is more similar to Birchas Hamenin, to the brachas that we say before experiencing, before having pleasure from something that Hashem created. So again, from both the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch and from this special teaching of the Gemara regarding Birchas HaTorah, we learn out that Birchas HaTorah is not just like any of the other brachas that a person makes before doing a mitzvah, but it's different, it's unique, it's special. We're not benching Hashem for the obligation or the mitzvah per se. The mitzvah to learn Torah, but it's more the appreciation of the general idea that Hashem gave us this Torah and that we're able to learn it. Now the Rebbe comes to his question at the end of Ois Aleph. The question is a point that the Alter Rebbe makes also in his Shulchan Aruch regarding Birchas HaTorah. The Alter Rebbe says that also women are required to say this bracha. Women are also required to say Birchas HaTorah before they learn Torah. The Alter Rebbe gives a reason. He says the reason is because women are also required to learn some parts of Torah. Women are required to learn. They are required to know all of the halachos that are pertinent or applicable to them. So they need to know all the mitzvahs lois asay and all of the relevant mitzvahs asay that are applicable to them. Being that women are required to know and learn some parts of Torah, that is why also women recite Birchas HaTorah. The Rebbe asks, why is it that the Alter Rebbe has to give an explanation as to why women have to recite Birchas HaTorah? It should be obvious, meaning if Birchas HaTorah is not about the obligation, like we explained before, if it's not all about the obligation that a person has to learn Torah, thank you Hashem for requiring me and giving me this command to learn Torah, if that's not what Birchas HaTorah is really about, then it should be obvious that of course, like the Gemara says, before somebody learns Torah, they need to first say a bracha. So this should be obvious that if a woman is going to sit down and learn Torah, then of course she needs to make a bracha. Why does the Alter Rebbe need to give any explanation and start saying that the reason why women also had me to recite Birchas HaTorah is because they're also required to know different parts of Torah? So that's the first question that the Rebbe asked in Ois Aleph. Why is this explanation of the Alter Rebbe regarding why women need to recite Birchas HaTorah? Why does the Alter Rebbe have to give this explanation? Now, moving on to Ois Beis, the Rebbe is going to ask another question about Birchas HaTorah, and this question is more associated with the time or the frequency of when we recite Birchas HaTorah. Because you would think, if the idea is, right, the Gemara says, learn from this pasuk, that before learning Torah, you need to recite a bracha, you would think that that means that every time that a person sits down to learn, he needs to say another bracha. Or perhaps a different option is if the Birchas HaTorah is more about the general idea or the specific idea that we're appreciating that Hashem gave us the Torah and that we received it and that we're able to learn it, then perhaps it's just a bracha that a person can make once in his lifetime or maybe once a year, similar to, you know, the mitzvah of remembering Amalek, which we perform once a year when we hear Parsha Zachar. So perhaps it should be done every time before you learn Torah, or maybe just, you know, once in your life or once a year. But in practice, that's not what's done. In practice, we recite Birchas HaTorah. As a general rule, it's just recited once a day, in the beginning of the day, as part of the bracha. It's the Birchas HaShachar that we say in the morning. That's when we say Birchas HaTorah. And these brachas will cover any of the Torah that is learned throughout the day. You don't have to say the bracha again. You just say it once, and that covers everything that you're going to learn throughout the day. Now, when the Alter Rebbe brings down this halacha in his Shulchan Aruch, he gives two opinions, two reasons why that is when we make the Birchas HaTorah, that we just say it once in the beginning of the day, and it covers the whole day. The first reason that he gives is based on the halachic concept of hefsik. Hefsik means the concept of hefsik is referring to when you do a mitzvah and the mitzvah gets stopped or interrupted while doing the mitzvah. So the first explanation, the first reason the Alter Rebbe gives is that we only need to say the bracha once in the beginning of the day because throughout the day, even when a person does other things and is involved in other things and is not just learning, there is really no hefsik. There truly is. There's no real hefsik. Almost never is there a hefsik, is there a break or an interruption in the person's Torah learning. The reason is, this is specifically referring to a person that is a learner. If we're talking about somebody who's a learner and who really cares about his learning, even when he goes to work and goes to his business, the attitude is, I'm just going to go and do whatever I need to do, and as soon as I'm able to, I'm going to get back to my learning. As soon as I have some spare time or a little bit of a free moment, I'm going to get back to my learning. And that's why it's not a hefsik, it's not an interruption. Or even if this person will go to the middle of the day, he goes to use to shower or to use the restroom, whether it's to bathe himself or to go to the toilet, that's also not considered a hefsik, because again, the kavana or the attitude is that as soon as I'm finished and as soon as I'm able to, I'm going to get back to my learning. The only thing that's truly considered a hefsik or an interruption in the person's Torah learning is what's known as a shenas keva, which means when a person when a person goes to sleep properly. Not for him, if he dozes off, that's okay. But if you decide, okay, I'm lying down in bed, I'm going to go have a nice sleep, that's called shenas keva, and that is considered a true hefsik or a true interruption. So again, according to this first opinion, the reason why we only need to say the bracha once in the beginning of the day, and that covers all the Torah that you learn throughout the day, is because for a learner, even when he is going about his day, going to work or doing anything else, there really is no true hefsik. It's not really an interruption to his Torah learning. The main thing that he's involved in, his main focus, is the Torah learning. That's the first explanation that the Alter Rebbe brings. The second opinion, the second explanation that he brings, is that this has nothing to do with the concept of hefsik, but it's just the takana, the way the Chachamim established these brachos. When the Chachamim were establishing when to say the brachos, they set it up in a way that they said, you just say Birchas HaTorah in the beginning of the day, like the Birchas HaShachar, and that just covers the whole day. So it's not associated with the whole concept of hefsik per se, but it's more, that was how the Chachamim set it up, that it should be just like Birchas HaShachar. And that is, in practice, what we do. We do recite the Birchas HaTorah as part of these morning brachos, as part of the Birchas HaShachar. Now, the Rebbe hones in on this first explanation that the Alter Rebbe brings, and hones in specifically on the point that even if a person, right, according to the first explanation, if a person throughout his day, however many times, goes to the Beis HaKisei or Beis HaMerchatz, right, the wash house or the place of the toilet or the bath, that is not considered a hefsik. It's not an interruption. And the Rebbe asks, why is this? There's something that needs to be understood over here, because this seems to contradict, or this is very different from the halacha that we find regarding regarding the tefillin. When it comes to tefillin, the halacha is that if a person put on his tefillin and then needs to go and do something, so he has a mind that I'm going to take off my tefillin, go and do whatever it is, and I'm going to come right back and put my tefillin. Then there is that is not because he had this kavana, because he had this in mind. There is no hefsek, meaning even if he takes off his tefillin, does whatever he does, comes back, he puts his tefillin on, he doesn't have to say a new bracha. It's considered like a continuation of the original time that he donned his tefillin. It's not a hefsek. That's the general halacha regarding tefillin. However, the exception is that if a person says, okay, I'm going to take off my tefillin, do what I need to do, and come right back. But in the interim, he goes to the Beis HaKiseh, he goes to the bathroom, then that is considered a hesek, that's considered an interruption to the mitzvah, and when he comes back, he needs to make a new bracha before putting his tefillin on again. The reason why the bathroom is considered an interruption is because tefillin, it is forbidden to wear your tefillin while in the bathroom. So even if you had a mind, I'm going to put my tefillin right back on, that doesn't help because you were in a place where tefillin were forbidden. And that's why it's like the mitzvah was stopped and interrupted and you would need to make a new bracha. And the Rebbe asked based on this, why is there a difference between learning Torah and tefillin? That when it comes to tefillin, and even if you had a mind that I'm going to put my tefillin right back on, going to the bathroom is considered a hefsek. Whereas when it comes to Torah learning, even if a person has a mind, I'm going to learn right when I come out of the bathroom, as soon as I'm finished, going to the bathroom is not considered a hefsek and is not considered an interruption. Why would there be a different halacha for tefillin than there is for learning Torah? Meaning just like it is forbidden to wear tefillin when you are in the bathroom, it is in the same way it is forbidden to learn Torah when you're in the bathroom. Not only may a person not say words of Torah or say words of holiness in the bathroom, a person is not even allowed to think Torah concepts while in the bathroom. So if both tefillin and Torah learning are forbidden in a Beis HaKiseh, why is it that regarding tefillin, going to the bathroom is a hefsek, is an interruption to the mitzvah, and regarding Torah learning, on the other hand, going to the bathroom is not a hefsek, is not an interruption? That is the second question that the Rebbe asks. In the Sicha, that's the question of Ois Beis. In Ois Gimel, the Rebbe brings in a third question, his third and final question, and this is going to be a question regarding the mitzvah of tefillin. That when it comes to tefillin, there is a concept called Hesech Hadas. Hesech Hadas means to get distracted, basically, to remove your mind or remove your focus from whatever it is that you need to be focusing on. What's the idea of Hesech Hadas and Tefillin? That we learn, this is even brought down in the Gemara, there's a Kal V'Chomer that is learned from the Tzitz. The Gemara says that if regarding the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wears, the tzitz which only mentions Hashem's name one time, regarding the tzitz, the pasuk says that v'hoya al mitzchay tamid, it must be on his forehead constantly. And these words teach us that the Kohen Gadol needs to not only wear the tzitz all the time, but he must constantly be aware of the tzitz. He is not allowed to have hesech hadas. He is not allowed to remove his mind or his kavana from the tzitz that he is wearing. So if the tzitz, which only mentions Hashem's name once, the Kohen Gadol may not get distracted from the tzitz that he is wearing, how much more so tefillin, in which Hashem's name is mentioned numerous times, how much more so is it important for there not to be hesech hadas, for a person not to get distracted from the fact that he's wearing tefillin and from the whole kavana and intention and meaning of the tefillin that he is wearing. So this is a concept brought down in Gemara, brought down in Halacha, that is very important for there not to be any Hesach Hadas when a person is wearing tefillin. However, when the Alter Rebbe brings down this Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, he first says that you may not, when somebody is wearing tefillin, he may not be Mesiach Das, he may not remove his mind from the tefillin even for a moment. And then a bit later, the Alter Rebbe kind of clarifies. And he says, what does Hesach Hadas mean? Hesach Hadas just means that Hesach Hadas only means if you are in a state of schoik or kalos roish. If a person is in like a frivolous or lightheaded sort of mood, meaning in a unfocused or not serious sort of mood, that's what we mean when we say Hesach Hadas. But if somebody is oimid beyira, he's standing in the state of reverence or awe, and he's doing whatever he needs to do, but he's not thinking about the tefillin, right? His mind gets distracted. He's not thinking specifically about the tefillin. Then that's not considered Hesach Hadas, right? It's best for somebody, it's obviously best to always be thinking, literally thinking about the tefillin and not get distracted from it. But if you happen to get distracted and not be thinking specifically about the tefillin, but you're still in a more focused and serious and a state of vigira, then that's okay, and it's not considered Hesach Hadas. And the Rebbe wants to understand, why is that? Why we have to understand the whole idea of Hesach Hadas when it comes to tefillin? Why is it that the Alter Rebbe says Hesach Hadas just means that you shouldn't be in a state of schoik or kalos roish? You shouldn't be in this lightheaded sort of mode. Perhaps you could explain that in regards to tefillin, we give a looser interpretation of the whole concept of Hesach Hadas. We say when it comes to tefillin, when we say there shouldn't be Hesach Hadas, we don't mean that literally, that you may not remove your mind from the tefillin, but we have a more loose interpretation of that term, which is that you may not have, your frame of mind may not be the opposite of Das, may not be the complete opposite of that focused, frame of mind or the kavanah of tefillin. It may not be the opposite of the whole kavanah or the whole intention of tefillin. If that's so, if you're in the state of schoik or kalos roish, then that's an embarrassment to the tefillin. That's considered Hesach Hadas, and that is what's forbidden. So you can say perhaps, you know, when it comes to tefillin, there is the concept of Hesach Hadas, but it's a more loose sort of interpretation of that term. But the Rebbe says that cannot be the case, that can't be so. Because 2 points. First of all, what happened with the whole kal v'chomer from the tzitz, right? Didn't we say, and the Alter Rebbe brings down this kal v'chomer in Shulchan Aruch, didn't we say that the tzitz, which Hashem's name is mentioned once, the Kohen Gadol, when it comes to the tzitz, the Kohen Gadol literally may not get distracted from the tzitz. We don't interpret Hesach Hadas loosely. It means that literally the Kohen Gadol must constantly be aware of the tzitz that he's holding. In fact, actually, the Kohen Gadol would always get himself into the habit to constantly touch the tzitz, so that in order to help him remain focused on the tzitz that he was wearing. So what happened with we can't say that when it comes to tefillin, we interpret Hesach Hadas loosely, because wasn't there a whole kal v'chomer from the tzitz? That we say the tzitz, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to remove his mind from the tefillin, then how much more so tefillin, in which Hashem's name is mentioned numerous times. So what happened with that kal v'chomer? And the second question the Rebbe has over here is that when the Alter Rebbe describes this, when the Alter Rebbe brings down this halacha, that it's also that it's forbidden to remove your mind from the tefillin, the Alter Rebbe actually adds some words that are not found in the Torah and not found in the Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe adds the words, afilu rega achas. He says, right, you may not be Mesiach Das, you may not remove your mind from the tefillin, even for one moment. So the Hal Torba adds some words that are not even found in the Shulchan Aruch, which shows, which makes this halacha even stronger, and which would sort to definitely give off the impression that this is something literal. This is something, you know, not even for a moment may you remove your mind from the tefillin. But then a little bit later, he explains that Hesach Hadas is just that you shouldn't be in this lightheaded or silly sort of mode. So what does this mean? How do we understand the whole concept of Hesach Hadas when it comes to tefillin? That's the third question that the Rebbe asks in Ois Gimel. So again, the Rebbe starts off the sikha on the first three oisiyos. We ask three different questions. One was regarding why the Alter Rebbe has to explain that why women recite Birchas HaTorah, it should be obvious that women should be required to say a bracha before learning Torah. The second question was more on the concept of Hefsik and Birchas HaTorah, that why is it, or Hefsik and Torah learning, that why is it that for when you put on tefillin, it is going to the bathroom is a Hefsik, but that is not the case when you learn Torah. And the third question was regarding, we just need to understand more the whole concept of Hesach Hadas and Hesach Hadas and Tefillin. Is this understood, you know, literally that you may not remove your focus from the Tefillin? Is it not understood literally? How do we explain the concept of Hesach Hadas and Tefillin? Now in Ois Dalid, the Rebbe begins to explain, to give the explanation to some of these questions. In Ois Dalid, the Rebbe starts off by explaining the last question, meaning the concept of Hesach Hadas and Tefillin, and also starts explaining a little bit the concept of Hefsik when it comes to the concept of Hefsik when it comes to Tefillin. So the Alter Rebbe explains, or not the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe explains in Ois Dalid that regarding the mitzvah of tefillin, there are really two parts or two elements to the mitzvah. There is, I guess, what you can call the guf of the mitzvah, the body of the mitzvah. In other words, the action to put on tefillin or to wear tefillin. There's the action part of the mitzvah. And then the second element is the kavana of the mitzvah, right? The intention that you have when fulfilling the mitzvah. The kavana of tefillin is what's known as shibur halev v'hamayach, meaning to get the mind and the heart to be subservient to Hashem. In other words, the intention is when a man puts on tefillin, one on his head and then on his left arm near the heart, the kavana is that I am devoting, I'm giving over both my mind and my heart to Hashem, that my mind and my heart will be fully devoted to Hashem. That is the, in a nutshell, that is the kavana of the mitzvah. And both of these, right, you've got the action, the wearing the tefillin, and the kavana of the mitzvah, both of these they come hand in hand, they are both part of the mitzvah. The Rebbe first explains on a basic level that because there are two elements to the mitzvah, right, if we're trying to understand the concept of hefsik when it comes to tefillin. So because there are really two parts to the mitzvah, even if one part is lacking or one part is missing, if the other element is still there, then there wouldn't be a hefsik. So, for example, if a person is wearing tefillin, but he's not thinking about the tefillin, right? It's not that if the entire time that he's wearing it, he's having the right kavana. At some point, he gets distracted. So, if you can't say that that's in hefsik, because after all, he's still wearing the tefillin, right? He still has the element of the actual action. He's still wearing the tefillin. And on the other hand, if a person is not wearing his tefillin, right, he removes his tefillin because he has to go and do something for a little bit. So if a person is not wearing tefillin, but he still has the kavana, he still had that intention, right, he says, hey, I just have to run and do whatever, and I'm coming right back to put it on because he had that kavana, he had that second element, then it's not considered a hefsik. But now the Rebbe explains this on a deeper level. And he says that it's not just that in order for there not to be a hefsik, an interruption in the mitzvah of tefillin, you need to just have one element or one part of the mitzvah. That's not enough. What needs to be done is that what there needs to be is that you have to at least fulfill one part of the mitzvah, and the second part of the mitzvah, even though you're not actually doing it, you cannot at least your state of being cannot contradict the whole mitzvah of tefillin. At least cannot the second part of the you see at least cannot contradict or be the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing regarding the mitzvah of tefillin. So we'll explain this further, but the idea is that a person does the right, he says the bracha and he puts on his tefillin. At that moment that he says the bracha and puts on his tefillin, he has the right kavana. He has both parts, the actual action, the mitzvah, and he has the right kavana. At some point down the track, one part of the mitzvah he's not really doing. Either he took off his tefillin, or he got distracted and wasn't thinking about his tefillin, or wasn't thinking about the kavana of tefillin. If he's still fulfilling one part of the mitzvah, and the second element is at least not contradicting the whole idea of tefillin, then we can say that there's no hefsek, there's no interruption, because at that moment he's still connected to that original moment when he put on the tefillin and said the bracha and had the right kavanah. It still can be connected to that continuation of that original moment. It's not a hefsek. But if in one part, either when it comes to the wearing of tefillin or regarding the kavanah of tefillin, he's just in a place or in a frame of mind that contradicts the whole idea of tefillin, then you have that is considered a hefsek. That's a stop. That's an interruption to the mitzvah, and he cannot be. It's not connected to that original moment when you said the bracha and put on tefillin properly. So to explain this, explain this properly and go through the examples. Let's firstly talk about if a person took off his tefillin, right? So again, originally put on the tefillin, said the bracha, had the right kavana, and at some point took off the tefillin. If the person had the right kavana, meaning he had in mind, I'm taking off my tefillin, I'm gonna come right back to it. As soon as I have the chance, I'm gonna come back and put on the tefillin. He had the right kavana. He wasn't wearing the tefillin, but at least he was in a place and he was in a state in which he is allowed to wear tefillin, in which tefillin is permitted, then we say there's no hefsek, because then he is still connected to that original moment that he made the bracha and that he originally did the mitzvah, and that has never been truly interrupted. On the other hand, if a person, even if he had in mind, he had the kavana, I'm going to go and then I'm going to come right back and put on tefillin, but in the interim, he went to the Beis HaKise, he went to the bathroom, he's in a place where tefillin is forbidden. He may not put on tefillin in that place. That means that despite the fact that he had the kavana, he was in a state and he was in a place which is a contradiction to tefillin, in which tefillin is not allowed. And that's why there is a hefsek, there is an interruption to the mitzvah, and if he's going to come back in order to put on tefillin again, he has to do it again, he has to say a new bracha. That's one example the Rebbe brings. The second situation is, what if the person was wearing tefillin the whole time? Meaning, again, he originally put on the tefillin, said a bracha, had the right kavana, and he's wearing tefillin the whole time, but at some point, his mind wanders, gets a little bit distracted, there's hesach hadas, right? He's not exactly thinking specifically about the tefillin, then as long as his state of mind is not the opposite of the whole kavanah of tefillin, meaning if he's then it's not a hefsek. Because again, he's in that situation, he is wearing the one part of the mitzvah he has. He's wearing tefillin. One part of the element of the mitzvah is there. Regarding the second element, the kavanah of the mitzvah, okay, he's not exactly thinking, he's not really doing the kavanah of the mitzvah. He's not specifically thinking about the tefillin or about the whole meaning of tefillin, but his frame of mind is more of a tefillin sort of frame of mind. He's still more focused, more serious, in a state of yira, in the state of awe or reverence. So it's not a contradiction to the tefillin. It's not a contradiction to the kavana of tefillin. And that's why, even if he gets a little bit distracted, it's not considered hesach hadas, because it's as if he's having that original kavana that he had. He's still connected to that moment that he put on tefillin and had the proper and had the proper kavana. So just to be clear, to explain, to answer our third question, which is where how we wanted to understand the whole concept of hesach hadas in regard to tefillin. And when the Alter Rebbe says that a person may not remove his mind from the tefillin even for a moment, is that to be understood literally or not literally? And how do we understand this? The idea is that yes, the concept of hesach hadas means it's literal, meaning you're supposed to, the entire time that that a man is wearing tefillin, he needs to be aware of the tefillin, he needs to have the right kavana, he needs to have that general proper, he needs to be thinking of the kavana of tefillin. However, why does the Alter Rebbe say that what's important, or that that what we mean is that he should not be in a state of schoik or kalos roish? Because as long as a person is not in the state of schoik or kalos roish, even if he gets distracted, it's as if he wasn't Messiah Das. It's as if he's still having that kavana, the proper kavana of the tefillin. If, however, his state of mind is choyke kalas roish, then there was a hefsik. That's a contradiction to the kavana of tefillin. That's an embarrassment to the tefillin that he is wearing. That's when you have a hefsik, and that's when that's when we say okay. That's when we say no. It's not as if you're still having the original kavana that you had when you put on the tefillin. So that's the idea. That's how we understand the concept of hesach hadas regarding tefillin. The Rebbe actually connects this whole concept, this whole idea, to the concept of when a sofer writes a sefer Torah, or when somebody writes a get. So also when these actions are done, it's important, the kavana is very important. Not only, it's not enough just to write the sefer Torah or to write the get. It is extremely important for the person who's writing it to have the proper kavana. But when it comes to these examples, we also learned that the most important part is to have the kavana right at the beginning. That at the beginning of the writing, that when the sofer sits down to write, he actually even makes a statement, like, I'm writing this for the kedusha of the sefer Torah. Or at the beginning of writing the get, you make a statement, I'm writing it, I'm writing this get for this man and for this woman. So it's the kavana is particularly crucial at the beginning, at the first moment when you start writing those documents. And even if afterwards, if the person gets distracted and isn't specifically thinking about the kavana that they're exactly what they're doing, it's okay. It's as if they still had that original kavana. So again, the Rebbe connects this concept that we explained regarding tefillin, connects it also to the mitzvah of writing a get or writing a sefer Torah. Now, just to explain and answer one other element of the question, which is that when we were asking about, like, how do we understand the whole concept of hesach hadas regarding tefillin, we wanted to understand, we mentioned the idea of a tzitz. We said that when we said that we learn the concept of hesach hadas as a kal v'chomer from the tzitz, right? That if the tzitz only mentions Hashem's name once, and yet the Kohen Gadol literally must constantly be aware of the tzitz, then how much more so may there not be hesach hadas with tefillin, which mentions Hashem's name many times. So we had asked, so we need to understand the kal v'chomer of the tzitz. What the Rebbe explains is that you can compare and contrast between the wearing of the tzitz and the wearing of the tefillin. In a certain sense, they are similar. The way that they're similar is in regard to the askaros. Askaros means the mention of Hashem's name. That the tzitz mentions Hashem's name one time, and then tefillin, Hashem's name is mentioned multiple times. So that's the way in which they're similar. being that they both mention Hashem's name, you have to treat it with a lot of respect and with awe, and this is something that you take seriously. All right, that's the comparison between the two. That's why you have to be aware of it, you have to take it seriously, etc. The difference, though, however, the difference between them is that when it comes to tefillin, the kavana, the whole the intention behind tefillin is a very general kavana. The idea is that a person says, I'm devoting myself to Hashem. I'm giving over my mind and my heart to Hashem. It's quite a general intention. It's quite a general kavana. Whereas the tzitz has a much more, the kavana of the tzitz is a much more specific kavana. The wearing of the tzitz was supposed to atone for certain parts of the karbonos being brought up, certain karbonos, if they would be brought up in a state of tuma, that the when the kohen gadol wore the tzitz and had that kavana, was aware that he was wearing the tzitz, had the proper kavana, that would atone for those sorts of mistakes that might happen. So that's the difference between the tefillin and the tzitz, and that's the reason why when it comes to the tefillin, even if a person gets distracted and isn't specifically thinking about the tefillin, it's still okay if he's in that general, more focused, serious frame of mind. Being that tefillin, the kavanah of tefillin is a more general one, but when it comes to the tzitz, the kohen gadol, it's not okay for the kohen gadol to get distracted from the tzitz. He must always be aware of the tzitz that he's wearing, and that's because the kavana of the tzitz is a very specific one. So that's how the Rebbe answers in Ois Daled that third question, that we now understand the idea of Hefsek and Hesach Hadas regarding when it comes to tefillin. In Ois Hey, the Rebbe starts explaining more of our second question, understanding the concept of Hefsek when it comes to Torah learning, and will specifically explain why when it comes to Torah learning, it is not a Hefsek, it's not an interruption if somebody goes to the Beis HaKisei. Now, in order to answer this question, the Rebbe brings down another source from the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, which discusses the concept of is it necessary for a person to learn Torah immediately after making Birchas HaTorah? Is that necessary, or is it okay for you to make the bracha on learning Torah, then go do something else and only learn Torah later, right? Do you need to learn Torah immediately after making the bracha? Because as a general rule, when you make a bracha, you need to, like, let's say if you're making a bracha before doing a certain mitzvah, you need to do the mitzvah immediately after making the bracha. You're not allowed to have a hefsek. You're not allowed to stop and do something else between them. So does the same thing apply to Torah learning, that you need to learn immediately after the bracha, or can you do something else in the interim? So the Alter Rebbe brings down two different opinions. The first opinion is that it's okay. It's okay to make the bracha, do something else, and then go do something else before learning. You do not need to learn immediately after saying the bracha, Birchas HaTorah. And the reason is being that a person, when we say a person, we're specifically referring to men, a Jewish man, being that a man is constantly obligated to learn Torah. Not only is it a mitzvah, but it's a constant obligation. He needs to learn Torah at all times. Being that he's constantly obligated to learn Torah, he's always connected. He's always connected to the mitzvah. It's always something which is applicable and relevant, and therefore it's not a hefsek. Even if he does something in between, it's not considered a hefsek. The Alter Rebbe explains it a bit further. He says, let's say For example, if a person, if we're talking about like a bracha, birchas hanenin, a bracha that you make before, let's say, eating food, there's no mitzvah, there's no requirement to eat that food. Even if it is a type of food that there's a requirement to eat, it's not like a constant obligation that applies at all time. So there's certainly no constant obligation to be eating that food. If you pick up a certain food, you can choose. Maybe you want to eat it, maybe you don't want to eat it. And that's why if a person were to pick up a food, say a bracha on it, then go and do something else, and then half an hour later come and eat that food, it's not clear at all that the bracha that he made, that the bracha that he made half an hour ago goes on that food. Because when you pick up the food, you have no requirement to eat that food, certainly no constant requirement. But when it comes to Torah learning, that a person is obligated to learn Torah, and this obligation applies at all times of the night, of the day, at all times. When it comes to Torah learning, even if you make a bracha in the beginning of the day, and then you don't learn immediately afterwards, you only learn at some point later on, it's still clear that bracha that you made originally is connected to the learning that you're doing, Okay, so that's the first opinion that the Alter Rebbe brings down. The second opinion is that no, it's not okay. You must learn Torah immediately after saying the bracha. This is actually what we do in practice. If you look at the Birchas HaShachar, we first say the Birchas HaTorah, and then we actually learn Torah. We say Birchas Kayanim and Elu Hadvarim. These are parts of Torah Shvachsav and Torah Shabal Peh in order to fulfill this requirement, right? To learn Torah immediately after saying the bracha. So you have these two different opinions. The Rebbe is here focusing specifically on the first opinion and says perhaps you can say that they're not really arguing, meaning according to the second opinion is not arguing with the fact that a Jewish man has a constant obligation to learn Torah, and therefore at all times of the day is always connected to Torah learning. Is not arguing with that idea. According to the second opinion, it just, you can't apply that concept in this way. But everybody agrees with that general concept that a Jewish man is always obligated to learn Torah at all times. This and therefore Torah learning is always something which is applicable and relevant to him. And this is going to be, with this concept and with this detail, we will be able to understand we'll be able to answer our question regarding Hefsek and Torah learning, and why it is that going to the bathroom and the like is not considered a hefsek in your Torah learning. And again, the idea is that being that Torah learning is a constant obligation for a man, it's something that's always applicable and always relevant, and he's always connected to it. Because of that, it's very difficult and almost impossible for there to be a hefsek in his Torah learning. And that's why even if at some point during the day he's not actually learning, it's not considered a hefsek. Even if he goes to a place, to the bath, the Beis HaKiseh, where he may not learn Torah, where learning Torah is forbidden, that is still, as long as he has in mind that I'm going to learn Torah afterwards, that is still not considered a hefsek in his Torah learning. The Rebbe explains the reason why is because it's connected to the whole concept of an oynus. An oynus means somebody who was not able, who either did a certain avera or was not able to perform a certain mitzvah because he was forced or because he was under duress. And the halacha is that an oynus is not liable, right? He's not liable for the mitzvah he didn't fulfill, or not liable for the avera that he did. Now, when we say, when we talk about an oinus, does that mean if somebody was oinus, let's say a person was imprisoned and did not have tefillin with him and, had absolutely no way to put on tefillin on a certain date. It was impossible. Right? We say, okay, this person is an oinus. He had no choice. His hands were tied, right? He had no choice. Now, does that mean that for an oinus, the mitzvah doesn't apply, or he doesn't have the mitzvah, he doesn't have the same mitzvahs or obligations? No, it doesn't mean that he didn't have, it doesn't mean that this man, let's say, did not have the obligation to put on tefillin. He did have that mitzvah. He did have that obligation. It just means that he wasn't able to fulfill it, right? He wasn't able to fulfill that mitzvah, and you can't hold him accountable for it because, after all, he's an oinus. So that's the idea of oinus, that you still had the obligation, but you weren't able to fulfill it. So that's the same idea. When it comes to Torah learning, being that the obligation is constant, it's always applicable, it's always relevant. Even when somebody goes, even when somebody goes to the bathroom, it's not that the obligation doesn't exist at that point. He still has the mitzvah. It's just that he's an oinus. At that moment, he's not able to actually fulfill the mitzvah. And that's as long as a person has a mind. Yes, when I have time, when I come out, I'll learn. It's not considered a hefsek. But on the other hand, though, tefillin is not a constant mitzvah. It's not something that's always relevant and applicable and applies all the time. So if a person goes to a bathroom where he may not put on tefillin, then that's considered a hefsek. So the only thing, when it comes to Torah learning, the only way there can be a hefsek in a person's Torah learning, the only way a person's Torah learning could really be interrupted, that afterwards he would have to make a new bracha again, is if the person does something or says something which basically clearly and explicitly announces that I am not learning, I'm not learning Torah now. I'm finished learning Torah for now. So for example, if a person goes to sleep, meaning not referring to if he dozes off, but if a person says, okay, I'm going to lie down, I'm going to sleep, that even though, yes, technically the obligation to learn Torah still exists, because he is doing something or saying something that gives off the impression that I am done learning now, that is the only way. That's how then he has a hefsek. That's when his Torah learning is actually considered to be stopped or interrupted. Or on the other hand, in a case of somebody who's not a Talmud Chacham or not a learner, and only learns for a very limited amount of time in the morning or at night, for such a person, whenever he finishes learning and closes his sefer, that's like making that statement that, okay, I'm done learning, that's it. And that would be a hefsek. That would be a hefsek in his Torah learning. And now that we have that understanding of all the concepts that we've discussed of hefsek and hesach hadas regarding tefillin, specifically when it comes to Torah learning, now with Ois Vav and Ois Zayin, the Rebbe answers our original question that we have, which was regarding women and Torah learning, or women and Birchas HaTorah. Why does the Alter Rebbe have to give us an explanation as to why women need to recite Birchas HaTorah? Wouldn't it be obvious that whenever, from the Gemara, that whenever a woman sits down and learns Torah, she needs to say a bracha? Why does the Alter Rebbe have to give us the explanation that he gives? Because she's also required to learn certain parts of Torah. And the Rebbe explains that the reason why the Alter Rebbe gives this explanation is not so much to explain why a woman in general needs to recite Birchas HaTorah, because that could be pretty self-understood just from the Gemara itself. But what the Alter Rebbe is trying to explain is the timing or the frequency of when the woman says Birchas HaTorah. The Alter Rebbe is explaining, why is it that women say Birchas HaTorah at the same time that men do? That they also recite Birchas HaTorah once a day, in the beginning of the day, and that covers any Torah that they may learn throughout the day. Why does the Alter Rebbe, what's difficult to understand. Why does the Alter Rebbe need to give this explanation? Because if you recall, there were two reasons the Alter Rebbe had given as to why a man, or why in general, people, we just say Birchas HaTorah once a day, in the beginning of the day, and that covers all the Torah learning that you learn the whole day. The first reason was because related to the whole concept of Hefsek, that whatever a person does, as a general rule, if somebody's a learner, whatever the person does is generally not going to be a hefsik, right? Even if he goes to work, even if he goes to the bathroom, it's not a hefsik, it's not an interruption to his Torah learning, and that's why he can just make the bracha once, and that covers everything that he will learn throughout the day. And remember, we explained this whole concept of hefsik, of why this is not a hefsik, why all these things that he does is not an interruption. And the explanation that we gave was because this mitzvah is a constant mitzvah. Because for a man, he has a constant obligation to learn. Now, this mitzvah is always applicable and always relevant. That's why it's really difficult for there to be a hefsik, for a man, for there to be a hefsik in his Torah learning. And that's why the Alter Rebbe has to explain why this is the case for a woman. Because you can say, okay, I understand. A woman, okay, she needs to say a bracha before she learns. So whenever she sits down and learns, whether it's the morning, afternoon, evening, whenever it is, she should just make a bracha then. Why is it that a woman makes a bracha in the beginning of the day and that covers anything that she'll learn? Well, it's not a hefsik for a woman. Like, a woman also has a constant obligation to learn Torah. What's going on over here? And that's why the Alter Rebbe answers, yeah, a woman to a certain extent and to a certain degree also does have a constant obligation to learn Torah, being that there are many aspects of Torah and halacha that are relevant to women, and a woman needs to be constantly aware of all of these laws. So to a certain extent, yes, a woman's obligation to learn Torah is also constant, and that's why also for a woman there would be difficult for there to be for something that she does to be considered a hefsek in her Torah learning. So that's what the Rebbe explains in Ois Vav. In Ois Zayin, the Rebbe explains this according to the second opinion the Alter Rebbe brought. Meaning the second opinion, the second reason why we just say Birchas HaTorah once in the beginning of the day, was that it's nothing to do with Hefsik, it's like Birchas HaShachar. That's the way the Chachamim instituted it, that you say Birchas HaTorah as part of Birchos HaShachar, the morning brachos. Right, that was the second opinion that the Alter Rebbe brought down. Now, what's the whole idea of Birchas HaShachar? Let's understand what Birchas HaShachar is all about. The Alter Rebbe explains that the Chachamim instituted that in the morning we say brachos, we bless Hashem for many different things that we have pleasure from or benefit from on a regular basis throughout the day, that we benefit from every day on a regular basis. So for example, Pekeach Ivrim, a person opens their eyes and is able to see. That's something that happens every day on a regular basis, constantly, all the time, many times throughout the day. Or Zoykev Kefufim, the fact that a person can stand up tall, straighten their back, that's something that is happens every day on a regular basis. It's something that happens all the time. So we just, in the beginning of the day, we say a bracha and we thank Hashem and we thank Hashem for it. So that's the idea. Birchas HaShachar is thanking Hashem for things that we benefit from constantly on a regular basis, or something that is constant and regular. And that's why you can ask, a person can ask, why would a woman also say, I understand why she says Birchas HaTorah, but why is it part of Birchas HaShachar for her? Why is it part of the morning brachas that she says? Okay, maybe she'll occasionally learn, but you're going to say that Torah learning is something that she's, benefiting from on a constant basis, is something that's so constant and daily and regular? ruler? Why would that reasoning and that explanation apply for a woman? That's why, again, the Alter Rebbe brings down his explanation that women too say Birchas HaTorah because women are also obligated in learning many parts of Torah. Then again, a certain, because yes, also for women, Torah learning is something that they are, Torah learning and Torah knowledge is something that they need and that they benefit from on a regular basis.